Chino Afternoon made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. A local business represented right here. When I play the Meat Puppets, man, I think of Parker Wilson somehow. How you doing, Chad?
Good.
Chad Edwards is here with us from Parker Wilson's. And do people call you Parker?
Sometimes.
Does it happen? Do you want to talk about the name?
I mean, we could. Sure.
Yeah. What's behind the name?
I just thought it had a good ring to it.
Just fun. It was just a fun thing to call it.
Yeah. It just kind of rolled off the tongue.
So tell me how long you now have two kind of food carts set up. But tell me how long you've been in business. It's kind of flown by. It seems like it's been like 6 years or something.
It has been 6 years. Yeah. This will be the sixth year.
Yeah. Wow.
So we got the second location last May, and we're still kind of ironing out all the issues with that. I mean, it's going well, but you know, it's just as I said, it's a whole new list of problems as far as especially in the winter with pipes freezing and stuff. But
so let's talk about that a little bit. And we'll talk about some favorite recipes and stuff too. But it's interesting to you're really the one guy in Juneau doing a year-round food truck.
Oh, it's great! Everyone should do it. Everybody should do it. I don't know why people want to go to Hawaii in the winter. Why do people leave?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Just come out and help me shovel some snow.
Yeah. So you've got – I mean, by the nature of it, a food a food truck
right.
like you've got, it's it's not a big insulated building with all of the niceties of a indoor facility. You're just a little – truck.
Right.
Right. So how do you make it work in the winter? Because you're open all winter.
That's a good question.
I mean, you're open all winter. You're open 3 days a week, Thursday through Saturday?
Thursday through Saturday downtown. Then Monday through Saturday in the valley.
Right.
And we're still figuring out how to make it work.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's one of those things where, sure, we don't have the brick and mortar, so we don't have that level of insurance, that amount of like monthly, weekly overhead.
Yeah.
But I think what a lot of people don't realize is that money goes towards chaos.
it's fed into the beast.
Yeah, we have to deal with chaotic things a lot more than a brick and mortar restaurant would have to, and a lot of it requires money and creativity. So you.
Literally dealing with the elements. I mean, that's just a big part of what's happening.
Right. I remember last year at one point at the downtown location, my pickle barrel was frozen. And it's a 5 gallon bucket of pickles. And I have some on the line, but I was out of the ones on the line, so I had to go get some out of the bucket. And it was frozen solid. And I'm 41 years old, chipping a 5 gallon ice brick with pickles, just trying to, get one out like it's a piece of quartz.
Chipping pickles, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then tell me about the Valley location. Maybe some people don't even – might not be aware that you've got a Valley location. Tell
us
about it. Yeah.
Sure. It's 1720 Crest Street by the airport at the Juneau Mercantile and Armory parking lot.
Kind of that corner where Les Schwab is on the corner and the Armory's on the one corner.
Right. You've got Southeast Mine Supply across the street from us.
Right.
So it was Fat Moe's. Mark and his wife were doing barbecue from that place for quite a few years. I bought the trailer from them last May, and we've just been trying to make it work.
Yeah.
And so far, so good. There's a lot of working people out there, like people that work outside too.
Yeah, right, right.
So whereas the downtown location, I can completely understand, but surrounded by state offices, they tend to look at the weather report and decide what they're going to do for lunch.
Right.
And if it's miserable, they'll pack a lunch, they'll bring a bagel or something like that. Whereas out there, I find people are already wearing foul weather gear.
They're already outside doing it. Yeah, right.
So that's been helping us pay for our propane this winter.
Did it feel – when you started working that place, did it feel like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do with all this space? Or did it feel, all right, this is a food truck? Or tell me – I mean,
it's
sort of a normal-size food truck, right?
It was glorious.
And your place downtown is a small – size food truck, I mean, it's kind of amazing the work you do in the small space you have downtown.
Right.
Yeah.
And I like working in small spaces when it comes to this. I learned how to cook on the Alaska Marine Highway System. So – and a lot of that time was up on the Tustamina. And that galley is really small. But I really got accustomed to that. Just everything's in arm's reach. And,
yeah, right.
I don't know. I kind of gravitate towards that anyway. I live in a one bedroom condo. I love tiny houses. I mean, that's It's just smaller spaces and efficiency are what really interests me.
Do you find you're able to do a little bit more with the extra space in the valley?
Oh, look, the extra space in the valley is wonderful for storage especially. I have a Connex container out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to explain to my friends and my coworkers like how glorious it is, and all of them just kind of shake their head.
Right.
But I mean, just to actually have like a pantry and racks, and, you know, and extra fridges, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, cool.
But we've got a lot more equipment out there too. I've got commercial warmers. I've got two deep fryers. We have a bathroom in there, which I got more excited about the extra fryers and the warmers. But like the females that are employed,
right, they
love the
staff,
fact that they can close the door and just cry.
Just have a moment.
Yeah.
Sure. So let's talk about food. What you kind of – tell me about what your – maybe sort of your founding principles of what kind of food you wanted to make when you decided you were going to start Pucker Wilson's. What were some of the ideas you had behind what your menu was going to look like?
Gosh, that's a hard one to approach. I guess like in broad strokes, I just like to feed people, you know.
Yeah.
I like feeding people, and I've been that way since I was a teenager. Something about – I mean, it might – say something about my personality. There might be some deep-rooted insecurities there. I'm a pleaser maybe, but I don't know. It works. And and it was and like I said, I learned how to cook on the Marine Highway system. I had some good mentors out there and some people that showed me a lot of wrong ways to do things as well. But I think that I wanted to start a business that wasn't embellished and that just had just – something that was timeless, something that doesn't go out of fashion, burgers and fries, man, you know.
And that's what you – I mean, if someone's going to name any one thing about Pucker Wilson's, they'll name burgers.
That's what
I think
going
that's
for.
What, yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
You've become known as the burger joint.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to be. I like those kind of I like just old school American diners, that sort of drive-thrus, you know. I'm just really drawn to that. I'm not really sure why. I think it just has to do with the fact that it's humble and it's just real and it's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing. You can't dress it up with a piece of parsley or some kimchi and stuff and say that it's great when it's not what it was the last time that people came there.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
It's,
right.
I like like the El Sombrero, for example, in Juneau. Like that place, I remember going there when I was, you know, 7 years old, and the food's exactly the same.
Right,
now.
They're consistent.
It's the
same. Yeah, right.
The prices have gone up a bit with inflation, but it's the same family. It's the same food.
Yeah,
some of the same people are working in the kitchen. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, right.
I love that.
Well, so let's talk about that diner food because it seems like you fulfill a little bit of a niche where there's not a lot else, maybe as much going on.
Why isn't there?
I don't know, but
why isn't there a diner down? Remember City Cafe?
Yeah, man, I remember City Cafe. I think about it all the time.
Or the Channel Bowl.
Yeah, the Channel Bowl had great stuff.
I mean, have we moved past that as a cult? I don't think we have.
I don't think so, man. If you ask Guy Ritchie, we haven't, right? I mean, you know, I mean, he's made a career off of that idea and the idea that really American food. There's a piece of American food that's really about that, diners and drive-ins and a great burger and great fries. And
the horseshoe,
you know,
bar where everyone, you know,
sure,
and Flo comes and fills your coffee.
Absolutely.
And it's very social.
Yeah.
You know, anytime I go to a new town, I find the diner. I just find a diner and I sit down and I order a chicken fried steak and I just keep my mouth shut. And I just listen to the old timers talk.
Right.
There's always some guy sitting there with like a, you know, Vietnam vet, Korea veteran hat,
sure,
and stuff. And
yeah.
You know, and you kind of get a feel for – what that demographic of that community is doing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Is that something that's in the back of your mind? You have a lot of passion for that idea. Is maybe someday getting into where it could be a diner or something like that?
I'd love to open a diner.
Yeah,
someday.
Right. It would be. I'm
the
sure.
Jukebox. You know, like I don't know. I don't want to. Like, I mean, I miss the whole Colette Costa thing.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I caught the tail end of it. I ate there once. It was
mm-hmm.
wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just something that, like a diner, but a little quirky, and you know, you definitely want to have a Juno bent to it, you know. It would have to – I don't even know what it would look like,
Well, there's historic examples of great diners that were in Juneau for a long time, long before you and I got to town. You know, so they've been here, and it seems like your menu especially reflects that kind of cuisine.
Yeah,
that's a big part of what you're going for. What are some of the so people know you for burgers and fries? What are some of the maybe more unusual things? What are some of the things that you find people are either kind of coming back to time and again, or hey, I have a friend, he told me I got to try this one thing. That kind of stuff come up.
It's so much fun, Andy. It's because I can't pick it. Uh-huh. Like I can't pick what people are going to freak out about.
Right.
Like a couple weeks ago, I took some fries and put a piece of fried chicken and some like just cheese sauce on top. People just freaked out. People like freaked out.
Right.
I had people like approaching me and Fred Meyer and stuff, and it was like, whoa.
Did you name it?
I know, I didn't have a name for it. It was just a special.
You got a name for a lot of your stuff, though.
I do.
Give me some of them.
Well, the one of the most recent ones, I might put it on the menu. It's a breakfast burger, and it's got French fried potatoes. Oh, not French fried potatoes. Potato chips, mm-hmm. sliced potatoes that I fry fresh. Put that on with a burger, bacon burger with cheese, Japanese mayo, barbecue sauce, and a fried egg. And it's just like. I had one years ago when I was hungover, and I was just like, I'm not hungover anymore. This is great. And I call that the Barry Diller.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And it kind of – Barry Diller – I was reading some art. You know who he is?
A little bit. Yeah.
He's – I mean he's one of those film producers, but I think he's one of the good ones. Like,
right.
I think he seems like a – you know, he's a billionaire that lives in L.A., so I'm sure he's probably got some skeletons in his closet, but I love his name.
Did he do Man in Black?
Diller.
Men in Black?
Yeah.
Is that Barry Diller? Okay, yeah.
And he
owns
all of the online dating sites.
Really?
Like he owns OkCupid. He went and
That's Barry Diller. He just went and invested.
He's really smart. He's, uh-huh. He sees trends and I mean, he's like 75 and he still sees trends and he nails it.
Wow.
But I thought he was – I read some articles about him and I thought he was hilarious, but I really just liked his name.
Now, what's the one, the Dusty
– The Husky Dawson.
Husky Dawson.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Husky Dawson. That's one I've heard a lot about.
Well, that one was that's my deluxe burger.
Okay.
So it's got onion rings and bacon and lettuce, tomatoes, sauce, cheese,
and all kind of piled on there. I would say volume is something that's a hallmark of yours.
Yeah. I don't go with like less is more.
Uh-huh.
But I think too much food is better than too little. I suppose in this particular style.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, the Husky Dawson's our deluxe burger. I don't remember how I came up with that name, but I think I was probably drunk. But I don't know. I like a good name.
Yeah,
I like something that kind of
it draws
that people kind of smirk when they say it.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah, it's a part of. I think it's part of diner culture too.
Yeah,
that part of it too.
Yeah, I like to kind of create an inside joke with things. You know.
Yeah.
Even if there isn't really an inside joke there, it's like people kind of feel like there is. You know,
totally.
I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. Well, tell me a little bit about what you have to do to kind of gear up for summer as those months start approaching.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Still trying to figure that out.
Uh-huh.
Staffing has been a new thing for me.
Okay. Now with two locations, especially.
Yeah. Well, for the last four years, it was mainly Kathleen and myself,
mm-hmm.
the redhead that, you know, she's just been awesome.
Yeah, right.
And so it was her and I, and that was – and she's just a beast in the kitchen. And with people, she's great.
Yeah.
So I was so fortunate to have her to begin with. I don't think I could have done any of this without her. It would, you know, because I couldn't afford to pay other staff.
Uh-huh.
So just to have one solid – performer
right.
was great. But with that said, it spoiled me. And now with the second location, I'm having to – I'm really getting thrown in the frying pan about leadership and management, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. So and I've – you know, I'm trying not to make mistakes, but it's hard. It's hard. It requires a lot of listening skills and a lot of, you know, kind of understanding what people need and, you know, getting a little less little less focused on what I need and what the business needs and what my staff needs. So that's it's a switch of gears, but I like it.
When, speaking of, you know, we were just talking about kind of letting people know about your business. You are really active on social media, especially Instagram, I think.
Yeah.
I see you a lot there. Tell me a little bit about how that plays into your kind of strategy for getting people to know about what you're up to.
Well, I guess for me, it's an integral part of what I do. I think good marketing needs to be built in to your model. I think it has to actually speak to everything that you do. I think you need to create a narrative through the product you sell and the service you provide, and that needs to be reflected through the marketing you put out. So, I think a lot of people with marketing, they kind of like – they got their product and they've got their service, and then they just slap on the marketing like it's a corsage or something, and it's just awkward. It's like putting a piece of parsley on a steak or something. It's like, why is that there? How does that relate to – so I think that the conversation needs to relate to you. I think it needs to relate to your business. It needs to relate to your employees, and it needs to most of all, it needs to resonate with your core people. Yeah. Your super fans, the people that love what you do.
Well, I would recommend anyone who's into Instagram, check out the Parker Wilson Instagram posts. They're pretty awesome.
Thanks,
they'll make
man.
You hungry for sure. And one last thing, it's Foodie Friday.
Yeah.
So you're known for great burgers. So if you give one tip to someone about how to make a great burger, what would it be?
You need a really hot, like as far as at home.
Sure. Yeah. Just, or you name it. Yeah.
I mean, if I was going to cook a burger at home, I wouldn't go with the barbecue or any of that. I would get a screaming hot cast iron pan. If you really want to get chefy and fancy, you can get a grinder attachment for your KitchenAid, and you can just throw like a ribeye steak in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just get like a really good steak.
Yeah.
With a good 80-20% fat is what you're looking for, 20% fat ratio, 80% lean. Grind that up, and don't mess with it too much. Just pack it loosely and wait till that pan is just smoking hot, and then just push it on there lightly. And season it first. You got to season it. A lot of people don't season their burgers.
Yeah, they just put the meat on. Just
yeah, and it
a
needs
patty,
salt
yeah.
and pepper. You got to have salt and pepper on there. Nothing. You don't have to put garlic salt or anything, crazy. But like just salt and pepper, put it on a screaming hot pan, till it really starts smoking. You're going to need ventilation for this one.
Okay.
And then once it's got a good sear on the side, flip it, throw some cheese on it if that's your jam, and it really doesn't require too much cooking on the other side because you've got all that Maillard reaction that – I'm getting nerdy here. But like you've got all that crust on there, and you still – if you've done it right, you're still going to have a nice medium rare in the middle. It's going to be nice and juicy, and you're still going to get that caramelized crust on the outside. And that's it, man. Maybe you want to toast your bun. You don't want to take a cold bun out of the bag and, after you've put all that work into that piece of meat.
Right, right.
And then that's the essence of it.
Okay.
From there, it's all personal taste.
Hot,
you want to put mayo
pan.
On it. Yeah.
Flip
cast
it,
iron.
And you don't have to do a lot on the second side, just a little bit on the second side.
Right.
Once you flip it.
Yep.
Yeah, and a cast iron pan.
If you really put the same sear on the other side as you did the first side, it's going to overcook in the middle.
Right.
And you don't need that.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Right.
But cast iron, too, because it holds the heat. Because you're looking at quarter inch, maybe a little even thicker, iron.
Mm-hmm.
So it holds that heat.
Right.
So the burger's not going to cool it down. If you use some Teflon pan, it's not going to do it.
All right. Well, burger tips from none other than Chad Edwards, owner of Parker Wilson's, two locations. Right downtown here, right by the K2 Studios, right in front of the Jack, and then over on the kind of corner by Les Schwab. And how do you describe that corner again?
It's
on the way to the airport there.
Right,
yeah,
right. It's between Southeast Mine Supply and the Juno Mercantile and Armory.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
open 11 till 6 Monday through Saturday.
All right, and then what are the summer hours?
It'll be 11 to. We might stay a little open,
later
in the valley.
And then in downtown?
That'll be 11 to 6 Monday through Saturday as well.
All right. Very good. Chad, thanks so much for coming in, man.
Hey, Andy, always
letting
a
us know what's
thanks,
going
man.
On. Foodie Friday here. That's Chad Edwards of Parker Wilson's. You want the best burger around. Go check it out.